Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today, of course, we're going to be talking about Elon Musk and his decision to take a stake in Twitter, but we've also got news on Giga Shanghai, Giga Texas, FSD, supercharging, and a few other topics as well, and we'll also circle back for a couple more thoughts on Tesla's delivery and production report from this weekend. All right, we'll start off with the stock. A nice day for Tesla today following that delivery report, up 5.6% to close at $1,145 per share, and now all of a sudden we are back within $100 of Tesla's all-time high. And this was a top 10 closing price for Tesla today. Definitely a tailwind from the macro environment, so I wouldn't attribute this move entirely to the delivery report. The NASDAQ today was up 1.9% versus the Dow just 0.3%. As we know, generally that's going to be a pretty good day for growth stocks. And if we look at other electric vehicle companies, NIO up almost 9% today, XPeng up 7.5%, Tesla there at 5.5% with Li, but even ARK up 4.4% today. So the delivery report certainly was not detrimental to the movement. But I also wouldn't feel comfortable just saying, oh, Tesla was up 5% because of the delivery report. I think the volume paints the same picture. Not a particularly high volume day today for Tesla, about 26, 27 million shares traded, which is almost exactly average for year to date, and about 13% below the average Monday's volume, which tends to be a little bit higher. All right, another quick thing I want to mention here at the beginning, just because I didn't actually notice it when we were doing the live stream from the delivery report this weekend, which, by the way, if you're an audio listener, you can find that on YouTube. But Tesla, with this delivery report, did something that they've never done before, and that was to actually schedule the Q1 earnings call already. So that is going to be on Wednesday, April 20th, of course. As usual, the shareholder letter, that'll come out within a few minutes of a market close, usually within 15 minutes. And then Tesla will have an earnings call. That'll be 4:30 p.m. Central Time or 9:30 p.m. UTC. Now, it seems like every time Tesla schedules these earnings calls, there is conversation about the significance of the date, whether in this case it's April 20th, 4:20, or speculation that Tesla has scheduled it early, trying to get good results out earlier. In my perspective, there's nothing to read into with this date. This was the date that I did expect. It's the Wednesday of the third fiscal week in April. That's generally when Tesla reports earnings for any quarter. Last year for Q1, the call was a little bit later. It was on April 26th, but that was because it was on a Monday. Tesla had shifted the schedule for a couple of quarters there, but recently they seem to have returned to that Wednesday of the third fiscal week, unless it's for a Q4 earnings report, which requires the annual report, takes a little bit longer. So usually that's 1 week later, the Wednesday of the fourth fiscal week in January. So in my opinion, that's just how the calendar is falling. Nothing to read into with that date. The other thing I want to mention up front here is just the production status of Giga Shanghai, then we'll move on to the Twitter conversation. On Shanghai, there have been conflicting reports. We got a report from Reuters this weekend that said that Tesla was slated to start production again at Giga Shanghai today, April 4th. However, they have since updated that report, saying that that restart plan has been canceled. So I think it's quite obvious that the situation here is very fluid and dependent upon the government actions there in Shanghai. I don't think anybody, including Tesla at this point, knows when Tesla will be able to restart production at Giga Shanghai. I do have a few details here, but again, these can definitely change. What I have been told is that Tesla did send an internal email saying that production will not restart until at least Wednesday, April 6th. They also said that employees will be notified at least 48 hours prior to the restart of production. And if we look at where we're at right now, that probably means production wouldn't start until at least April 7th. By the time this episode comes out, it's already going to be well into the morning of April 5th in China. And then the last thing that I've been told is that Shanghai began nucleic acid tests for COVID for the entire city today, and that communities with zero positive cases will be lifted from lockdown on April 8th, with the plan for the entire city's lockdown to be lifted on April 15th. But again, I'm sure that is contingent upon what the test results look like. So we'll just have to continue to monitor that situation, and whatever I hear on that, I'll continue to pass along. All right, so the big news for today, although perhaps not directly related to Tesla, I do still think is quite relevant, and that, of course, is that Elon Musk has disclosed a significant stake in Twitter. This was disclosed in a Form 13G filed with the SEC today. That has to happen when any entity crosses a 5% ownership threshold of a public company. We'll talk a little bit more about that form and its implications here in a second, but from the form, we can see that Elon has acquired 73.5 million shares of Twitter stock. That means he now owns 9.2% of Twitter's outstanding shares. That makes him the largest individual shareholder of the company. At first guess, you might think Jack Dorsey, even though he has recently departed as CEO, he does still sit on Twitter's board, and he only owns about 2.2% of the outstanding shares, so significantly less than Elon now. So this is a sizable position. Twitter stock today was up 27% following this news. That put the share price at around $50, meaning Elon's stake now worth about $3.7 billion. Now, the timing here is pretty interesting because, of course, about a week and a half ago, Elon had done one of his quickly becoming infamous Twitter polls where he said that, quote, "Free speech is essential to a functioning democracy. Do you believe Twitter rigorously adheres to this principle? Yes or no?" And that, quote, "The consequences of this poll will be important. Please vote carefully," end quote. Of the roughly 2 million votes, 70% voted no on that poll. That might lead you to believe that Elon decided to take a stake in Twitter after this poll. However, that poll was on March 25th, and the Form 13G states that the action requiring this form, i.e. crossing that 5% ownership threshold, that was on March 14th, so Elon had already been acquiring shares prior to this poll. So this ends up looking now like kind of a similar situation to what we had seen with Elon's Twitter poll about if he should sell 10% of Tesla stock. By that time, he did already have shares that were scheduled to be sold after that Twitter poll, and we talked at the time about how Elon likely expected the poll results to be what they were, but he did end up following that up within a couple of days with some additional unscheduled stock sales. So in that case, the order of events was that Elon planned to sell some shares, posted the poll, then ended up selling some additional shares. If we look at this Twitter poll through the same lens, then perhaps that order of operations would look like Elon buying some shares of Twitter, posting this Twitter poll, and then question mark, but I do think that that could be followed up by further action, potentially buying more or trying to exert some influence. And that's where I want to come back around to this Form 13G. I know, super fun talking about different SEC forms, but it is actually pretty interesting here because when you cross that 5% ownership threshold, you get to file one of two forms, a 13G or a 13D. A 13D is a longer, more in-depth form that's required if an investor has more than 20% of the outstanding shares. So with Elon at 9%, that's not the case yet, but it's also required to file a Form 13D if you are not going to be a passive investor. For the purposes of these forms, the SEC defines a passive investor as an investor who, quote, can certify that the subject securities were not acquired or held for the purpose of and do not have the effect of changing or influencing the control of the issuer of such securities and were not acquired in connection with or as a participant in any transaction having such purpose or effect, end quote. So you got to read that pretty carefully because I think people see passive investor and from that title, they kind of assume that that means that, oh, the investor isn't trying to influence the company's direction at all. But to me, it's pretty clear there that they're talking about a transaction. So let's say a buyout or a merger. They also talk about control of the company. Those things would all fall into that bucket as well. That might expand out a little bit to who is the CEO, who's on the board of directors, but I'm not even convinced of that. I think it's mostly related to acquisitions. So even though it says passive investor here that's not seeking influence, it doesn't mean that Elon can't seek to influence things like company strategy, even as a so-called passive investor. I mean, any investor that is voting at the annual meeting, for example, is influencing the company. And Elon, as the largest individual shareholder, certainly going to have a lot of influence. So basically, I think as long as Elon stays under 20%, he's probably good with a 13G. If we were to end up seeing a 13D, that would be quite noteworthy. The other forms that we might see is that if Elon goes above 10%, then I believe he has to start filing Form 4s, which we're very familiar with from when he was selling his Tesla shares. Those have to be done within 2 days of any transaction for somebody owning more than 10%. So for these reporting reasons, a lot of times investors will sit just under that 5% threshold or just under that 10% threshold to reduce some of those required disclosures, and then definitely the same thing at that 20% level as well. So I hope that's helpful information and clears up what I think are some misconceptions around that passive investor title. I think that's important because I think Elon is going to have a lot of influence on Twitter. I mean, as the largest individual shareholder, some of that influence is inherent just with that share count. But also Elon's got a huge amount of capital that he could quickly and easily deploy to grow that stake if he wanted to. And that makes Elon even more influential because management, other investors recognize that. And if they're not aligned with Elon's desires, well, they'll be very aware that that lack of alignment is a very risky position to be in should Elon choose to further exert his influence. Based on Elon's Twitter poll, it certainly seems like he's got some things in mind. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, we talked about Elon being on the board shortly of Endeavor. He's stepping down there, but aside from that, we haven't really seen Elon in this role before. So good or bad, it's new territory, and personally, I've got mixed thoughts on it. I don't want to be too concrete in anything that I say here because we have to wait and see how it plays out, obviously. So I'll share my loosely formed first thoughts, and I'd expect some disagreement on some of these things. Totally understand that. Just please listen when I say that this is not a fully formed opinion. I'd say the first thing is probably about free speech. I think most of us listening to this podcast would be very supportive of free speech. Elon on Twitter recently said that he was a free speech absolutist. Obviously, he's got this Twitter poll as well. Personally, I think Twitter has gone a little bit too far in some of their censorship, but I'm also not sure that every single platform on the internet should be completely without oversight, completely without moderation. I have no idea if that's what Elon thinks. I'm just going off that free speech absolutist comment. I think in general, this is a very difficult problem, one that is deserving of a lot of attention, but I also don't think it's as simple as saying censorship is the only threat to free speech. While I do think that it is a threat, I think there are also threats that come from algorithms, how those are written, bots, how they influence those algorithms, the profit motive, as we have talked about many times. I think inherently that tends to amplify things that probably would not be as amplified in normal discourse without that profit motive. And then you've got anonymity, which kind of compounds some of these things. Certainly anonymity provides a lot of benefits online, but it can also amplify a lot of bad things as well. So those are just some loosely formed thoughts. Elon probably has nuanced opinions on those things too. So again, don't want to make any judgments on those things too quickly, and there certainly exists the possibility for Elon to have a positive influence in a number of different ways here. Another initial reaction is that I do think it's a little bit unfortunate in terms of the perception that this creates around Elon, around Tesla, around SpaceX. These things have naturally developed very strong positive communities, probably no better example of that than on Twitter, and unfortunately, now that Elon has a stake in Twitter, it's going to be very easy to attack that. I mean, people already say that Tesla Twitter is like paid off by Tesla or something like that, which is ridiculous, but suddenly it makes it a lot easier to make those types of arguments, or that Elon is stacking the algorithm in a way that's favorable to him, favorable to his companies, very similar to the criticism that Jeff Bezos gets as it relates to the Washington Post. Now, I don't want to be overly critical on that point because, as we had talked about with that Elon Musk interview last week, he cares about the reality of doing good, not the perception of doing good. What I'm talking about here would be perception-based things, and the reality can definitely outweigh that to the positive, but it is still a side effect that is going to exist, and perception does influence reality in many ways. So I know this will be a divided topic, but definitely want to hear people's thoughts on Elon's move here in the comments today. All right, a few other quick things on Tesla here. First, just checking in on Giga Texas. As we know, later this week, Tesla is going to have the Cyber Rodeo Giga Texas event. They are getting things set up, and it looks like they're setting up kind of a major entryway into the factory for tours. Exciting to see all that starting to get in place. And then also, Joe Tegmeyer spotted a Tesla Semi on site at Giga Texas. And I think these ones have a new paint job that I don't recall having seen before. It's one of those two-tone ones, which usually I don't like on most vehicles, but I think it actually looks really, really good here on the Tesla Semi. Next, we've got a quick update on FSD beta. This afternoon, Tesla did start rolling out software update 2022.4.5.21, which is FSD beta 10.11.2. So just a minor point update here. I don't believe any changes to the release notes, except maybe some minor things for Canada. Next, we've got a tweet from Elon on supercharging. Ross Gerber had asked about the profitability on supercharging. They were trying to model it. Elon said, quote, "We aim for 30% gross margin or about 10% profitability, all costs included," end quote. We'll probably talk more about that in a future episode, but just keep in mind with superchargers, there are high demand charges that Tesla has to pay for delivering that amount of energy at such high rates. So when you're looking at supercharger rates, it's not necessarily fair to compare them to rates that you might have at home, for example. All right, one quick non-Tesla item here, and then I have some more thoughts on deliveries, as I mentioned. So today, Polestar and Hertz announced a partnership where over the next 5 years, Hertz will purchase up to 65,000 vehicles from Polestar. So not quite the Tesla deal, but that would be pretty significant for Polestar. It is only about 13,000 vehicles per year on average, and I would imagine that would be a little bit more backloaded than frontloaded. But nice to see Hertz continuing to pursue electrification, and that'll just get more people exposed to EVs. All right, last thing here. This is just a small rant. If you're not interested in hearing that from me, feel free to opt out at this point. But I just wanted to clarify a couple of things on that delivery live stream. I got quite a few comments on YouTube and on Twitter that I seemed like somber or depressed or something by the results. Let me just clarify that I was not. Please see the preview episode where I talked about how this was one of the least important quarters that we have had. Certainly not going to be depressed by my production forecast being off a couple of percentage points and my delivery estimate being off by less than a percent. That is certainly not depressing. But at the same time, even if the numbers are strong and they come in below my expectations, my forecast, I'm not going to be super excited about that either. As I explained on Twitter, this wasn't meant for any one individual point of feedback, but just because I had seen this in a few places. I'm really not an emotive person in the first place, and I also don't understand the expectation that I would be super excited about results that were lower than what I had forecast. If I were all of a sudden acting really excited about that, then I must not have really believed in my forecast, or I'm just acting disingenuous with that excitement, so it's confusing to me that people would have that expectation. And at the same time, just because I'm not super excited about it doesn't mean that it's not a good number or that it's a bad quarter or something like that. The numbers are still really strong, and we talked in the preview episode about why that was. We talked in the delivery episode about why that was. If you're coming away from those two episodes and thinking that I think this is a bad quarter, you're really not listening. So I think most of you understand this, and I'm not trying to belabor the points or be defensive or anything like that. There were just enough of these comments that I felt like it was worth sharing my perspective on, and hopefully that helps understanding in the future. With that future understanding in mind, just the last couple of things I'll say on this is that I'm a night person, so this was a morning live stream. I'm just naturally going to be a little bit less enthusiastic at that period of time. Also, I know super shocking, but I do get a little bit nervous on live streams, especially when it's about information that I got like 2 minutes ago. And then the last thing I'll say is that also, I know this is hard to believe, but my mood is not 100% dependent upon Tesla or some quarterly numbers. If you think that those influence me that much, you're probably not really understanding where I'm coming from with Tesla Daily for the last 4+ years. So I know it's a rant, and for what it's worth, I thought I was in a fine mood in that episode. I mean, I was smiling, laughing, joking around. But if that was your takeaway, hopefully that can help clarify some of those things for now and possibly in the future. Just to be explicit, I think Q1 was a very strong quarter. I think Tesla managed through a lot of challenges very well. The quarter is demonstrative of a lot of competitive advantages that Tesla has. And like I said earlier this quarter, even though Q1's a record quarter, it's going to be the worst quarter for Tesla this year because things are only going to get better from here. Of course, you have to throw a little macro asterisk on that, but Tesla is very well positioned and their Q1 results make that clear. All right, so that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, April 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.